series on the abundant life and the seven sins that cause the stress that takes us away from or robs us of that abundant life. And I'll just spend a couple moments reviewing. The Lord wants us to have an abundant life. There are very specific sins that rob us of that abundant life, okay? And those sins cause stress. We said to have an abundant life, we must understand several important principles. We're a three-part being. Body, can everybody say body? Soul, can you say soul? Can you say spirit? We're a three-part being. Stress affects the body and the soul and the spirit. These sins that we're talking about, so we've gone over two of them. Today we'll go over another one, and actually tonight will be part two of this morning's message. So I'd encourage you to come back tonight. But total health, or the abundant life that Jesus calls it, is the dynamic and harmonious interaction of the body, soul, and the spirit. The spirit is the most important of the three parts of our being. We said we must understand that stress not dealt with properly affects all three of these parts of our being. Then we lose or never have the abundant life that God desires for us to have. When these three laws, body, soul, and spirit, are in conflict, we experience stress, disease, and often premature death. When these three are in harmony with one another, we experience health, peace, and the abundant life. Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The peace of God is a state of undisturbed well-being with an absence of inward stress. This is the abundant life. We must understand the stress does not just happen. Please get this. Stress results from wrong responses to circumstances. Okay, stress is, how do you get rid of stress? Okay. How do you get rid of the problems in your life? Listen, there's no problem-free life. Okay, it's just a part of life. But it's our response to the problems, okay? And so we must understand that stress does not just happen. Stress results from wrong responses to circumstances that produce anger. Okay, we had a message on anger. Guilt last week. Guilt. We preach and taught from the Bible about guilt. This morning, lust. Bitterness, greed, fear, and envy. We also must understand that the abundant life in reality is having the ability to fulfill the purpose for which God created us. Now, let me say this. We got to get that. The abundant life is not something God gives us so that we can just run off and be a self, a narcissistic, selfish person. God wants us to have the abundant life so we can fulfill the purpose that He has us on this earth. If your life is filled with stress and tension, and which causes all these mental, emotional, and physical and spiritual problems, how in the world can we have an abundant life? And how can we help people and bring people to Christ and have a strong, godly family if we don't have this abundant life that God wants us to have? And then we must understand that the seven stresses that will always hinder the abundant life throw the body, soul, and spirit into an imbalance. The seven stresses must be dealt with from God's word, or we will never have the abundant life, and we will always suffer from the consequence of these stresses. Now, let's stand together and grab your Bibles, and let's all stand and turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Now, this morning and tonight, we're going to talk about lust. Okay, and I know we have teenagers in here. Of course, I think most of the teenagers are on the bus routes, but some teens. And we have some older children in here, so I will be careful. But we live in a very, very lust-free zone. It's horrific. I'm almost, you say, well, Pastor, what's the point of the message? Number one, if you have a problem with lust. Now, let me just say this. Let's just be real honest right now. They took a survey with these men, and they come to find out that 80% of the men struggle with lust. They're not in bondage, but they struggle with lust. And the other 20% struggle with lying. okay? So let's just be real honest, okay? We, you know, if we, Brother Ezekiel, if we can get in that cave, we can probably not have those temptations. But you don't have to be in bondage to lust. If you're in bondage to lust, you'll never have an abundant life. Lust affects your body, your soul, and your spirit. And we'll talk about that this morning. And I was going to have one sermon, but I can't do it all in one sermon. So I encourage you to come back. Tonight's just to let us know how horrible, you know, it can get. And then tonight is hopefully some of the solutions. But let me, so one, we need to overcome this lust. And number two, let me say this. Parents, our children can come to this marriage altar pure. By the way, let me say this. I don't just mean pure in body, pure in soul, and pure in spirit. There's a lot of people, for whatever reason, maybe their parents have had a ball and chain on them for all their teenage and young adult life, but their soul is polluted. Okay, that internet is polluting our soul. But don't let the world dictate how we're going to rear our children. And let me say this, our grandchildren too. And let me take a step further. Many of us are first-generation Christians. And so there's a tendency, and this really goes with the message a little bit maybe more tonight, there's a tendency for us to have a little lower bar, and I don't mean a low, low bar, but a little lower bar for our children, okay, if you fail morally, or maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian home. Let me say this, just because you had moral problems when you were a teenager or a young adult, don't lower the bar. Clean up your mind and your soul, and let's give our children something better. The sins of the fathers are visited the third and fourth generation. You say, so what do we need to do? We need to break the curse. Immorality is passed down to the next generation. And so we need to break the curse. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. By the way, and let me just say this. If you're a new Christian, let me encourage you. Be grateful to have a church where you can bring your family and hear these things. Okay? Because let me just say this, since you asked, I'll tell you. They're passing out condoms in the public school. Okay? We don't believe in that. We don't believe in safe sex. See, what do we believe in? We believe in abstinence, and we believe in morality. Okay, you don't need all that junk and all, well, we're just in case. Listen, there should be no plan B for the Christian. Let's just be what God wants us to be. And so it's good to have your family in a church like, wow, honey, I believe this, but I never heard it before. We just believe we ought to tell the truth, because the truth is what the Bible says sets us free. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 24. Proverbs 6, verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman. But by the way, this is a couple few thousand years ago. Do you think they've gotten any more evil? We know men are evil. But there's a few bad ladies out there too. Now, I'll mention it tonight, but ladies are so, I don't mean in here. Of course, none of us in here, but out there. They're aggressive. I had a couple men in our church, a couple single men come up to me and say, Pastor, man, I don't know. I went to both of them. I think it was a supermarket. They said, a girl came up to me, had one of our good guys, new in our church. He said, man, he's just really on fire for God. He said, a girl came up to me, looked at me, and gave me, he didn't even know her, didn't even know her name, and gave him her phone number and her name, says, hey, if you want to call me, here you go. Wow. Anyway, that's that girl right there. Hey, they're out there. And by the way, men, let me say this. Keep your eyes, I don't even mean the bodies. Keep your eyes off of other ladies' eyes. Okay, that's where it is. Albertsons, you look, okay? It's communicating with the eyes. Okay, now I like to have eye contact, but I ain't going to hang my eyes on some other woman. Okay? This old-fashioned day. So we just get the old-fashioned. By the way, really, every Sunday's old-fashioned day around here. To to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. He said, who's a strange woman? Anyone that's not your wife. That's who's a strange woman. Well, I'm not married. Then they're all strange to you. Verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. And we're going to get to Jesus said the same thing, okay? Well, I haven't done anything to anybody. Behind every human tragedy is a long process of evil thinking. Before you commit fornication or immorality, you think it in your mind and your heart. So I've never done that before. By the way, Jesus, we'll see in a minute, Jesus says, even if you've done it in your heart, you've already done it already. You say why? Because he wants our hearts cleaned. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Keep your eyes off her eyes, okay? For by means of a whorish woman, by the way, these are not my words. These are Jesus's. This is God's words, okay? By the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. You say, what does that mean? You know what that means? That means there are some girls out there, they want your innocent sons. By the way, there's some guys out there who want your innocent daughters. You protect them, okay? Protect them with God and his word and guns. You say, are you saying God and his word don't work? Yeah, they do, but they all it's like the Trinity, okay? Just kidding. For by the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. Look at this. He doeth it. He that doeth it destroyeth his own what, class? His own what? His own soul. Let's pray together. Father, help us. We don't have a whole lot of time, but help us to understand how important it is to overcome and be free of lust. Now, we all have temptation. We're going to be tempted when we get on that 710 freeway and see those dirty billboards. But we don't have to give in to the temptation. We're going to be tempted when the girl's walking down the street inappropriately dressed. And there's men that are tempted when they go on their computer. But Lord, help us to have the freedom that we can have from your word. And help all of us, Lord, to realize this is something that is often hidden deep down in our soul, but we've just read it destroys our soul. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Why don't you please open your Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. By the way, I like this not shaving. This is nice. Faster mornings. And by the way, if your face gets dirty, no one will know. Wonderful. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 27. Matthew 5, verse 27, Jesus is speaking here. He said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. By the way, fornication is sexual sins. Adultery is sin in marriage, okay? And adultery would be categorized under fornication. But Jesus said, you've been heard of this. You shouldn't commit adultery. Okay. Now look at verse 28. By the way, we have this this little movement. I don't mean in our church, but there's that teaches. Well, you know, you don't have to worry about the Old Testament. You know, just the New Testament. Let me say, there's a higher standard in the New Testament than the Old Testament. And I don't want to go there because that can confuse people. But Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to just throw it away and say, oh, that's no good. He said, you heard that it's been said by the old time. by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to what, class? To what? To lust. Okay? Whosoever looketh upon a woman. By the way, ladies, help us so that we don't have so much temptation. Okay? Especially in the church. Our ladies dress modestly, but sometimes you go in the workplace and you see all these ladies and you see how modest you are and you go, oh man, I look like an old lady. By the way, you don't have to look like an old lady, but I'd rather look like an old lady than cause other men to lust. Yeah, okay, but you don't have to decide to do that. Okay? I'd rather err on that, on the side of caution. But that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Yeah, God's saying you don't have to even touch her. You've already committed adultery in your heart. Okay? Look at verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. You know, Jesus is saying this is very important. Okay? Now, the truth is, if we all had to do this, we'd all be walking around here with seeing eye dogs. Okay? But you know, Jesus is saying this is important. Do everything you can to keep your mind clear. And he says, listen, man, if you got to pull your own eyeballs out to do it, do it. Now, you don't have to pull your eyeballs out. You just have to have God's truths and God's word and have some spiritual direction. He said at verse 20, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Verse 30, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is proper for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now we know that if you lust doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but Jesus is trying to stress a point. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 18. By the way, the Corinthian church was filled with all kinds of sins, all kinds of sexual sins, incest, but it was a big city. It's just like we have here. Verse 18, flee fornication. You say, what does flee mean? Run. Run from it. Cut your eyeball out, cut your hand off, and run. Okay, so I can't see now. Just run. Remember Joseph? A few thousand years ago, here's Joseph. He's a young adult. And then here is this lady. And by the way, he had the same temptations that we have. He was of age and girls that were pretty and girls that were inappropriately dressed and girls that would wink at him and girls that would make passes at him. He had the same temptation. You say, well, what did he do when Potiphar's wife came and Potiphar was gone? And by the way, be careful about that. Be careful about allowing yourself to be put in a situation where you have temptations. Okay? Well, you know, the girl and I at my workplace, we work together all the time, and I'm beginning to have feelings for her. Quit the job. Well, you know, who's going to pay the bills? God will pay the bills if you live a holy life. But here's Joseph, and Potiphar's wife is really aggressive and comes and says, come lie with me. You say, what did he do? Did he just said a couple words, and the Bible says he ran. Flee fornication. By the way, Paul said to Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Okay? He said there's lust and there's youthful lust. Doesn't mean someone asked a guy, he's like 85 years old. He said, hey, this godly man, he asked this man, he's up in his 80s. They said, sir, when do you quit having those temptations for lust? He was 85. He says, I'm not sure yet. Okay? But there's youthful lust. Okay? flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own what, class? No, body. His own what? Body. Proverbs was soul. God says when you sin, when you get involved with fornication, whether it's physical or it's lust, it affects your body. Look at verse 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Look up here. We're Christians. When we get saved, we accept Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in this body. He said, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He said, glorify God with your bodies. What? Verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. God sent his son and to die on the cross. You are bought with a price of God's own son. Glorify God with that body. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's look over one more verse, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Again, I encourage you to be back here tonight. This will be part two. We're gonna just sort of do an introduction today. Hebrews chapter 13 and let's look at just verse number 4. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable. See, was that? That's a good thing. How many of you guys were glad when you got married? Well, that was very weak. Okay, if I was your wife, I'd be hitting you in the head with a purse after church. Okay, I remember those days when I was single. Now, when I was in Bible college, I was so busy, I didn't think of it. But then all of a sudden I graduated, I'm like, this going home to, and I lived off campus then, going home to this little room, this is for the birds, man. So I didn't get married, okay? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. Okay? He said, well, mine's a bad thing. Well, don't say it. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. So what does that mean? Get S.M. Davis's message on intimacy in marriage, and you could know what that means, okay? But whoremongers and adulterers, God will, what class? Judge. God will judge. You say, well, nobody knows. It didn't say that God will judge those that everybody knows about. By the way, one reason God's judgment is on this nation is because of the immoral state of our country. Our president that I prayed for, President Clinton, he defiled the White House. Now we have General Petraeus, who is a good man. And some say that he was possibly going to run. He was a general and head of the CIA, I guess. And he some say he was going to maybe run in 2016. By the way, he's been married for 38 years. Lust and sexual sins go on and on. You never get to an age, you never get to a place in your life where you can't fall and you can't be involved with that type of sin. That's why you need to walk with God and be careful. Now, let me just give us a few thoughts here this morning. And then we'll be done for the morning. Lust affects the body, soul, and spirit. You can never have a fulfilled, abundant life if you have uncontrolled lusts and passions in your life. That's for ladies, that's for men, that's for teens, that's for singles, that's for, oh, once I get married, I'll get to, no, once you get married, if you had a lust-filled life before you got married, all you did is you brought it into your marriage, and now you've complicated your marriage. Okay? You never can have the abundant life. You can't. Lust often leads to immorality. The Bible says destroys the body. So was that God's judgment on the body? Meg Meeker, in her book Epidemic, she said every year one in four teens contract an STD, sexually transmitted disease. Although teens are 10% of the population, they acquire about 20% of the STD cases of our teens. 15% of all boys will be infected with a herpes virus by the time they're 18. Every day, 8,000 teens become infected with a new sexually transmitted disease. In this day of sexual promiscuity, we have resulting pandemic of sex-related diseases. These include infectious and incurable viruses such as HIV, hepatitis B, HPV, and related cancers. Now, I won't go into all that. We're not doing the medical thing this morning. There are also infectious bacterial diseases such as gonorrhea and syphilis and others. Every year, there are at least 19 million new cases of STDs and STIs. Wow. That's a lot. Let me just say this. Moms and dads, make sure your daughters marry somebody that's pure. It's been unfortunate as a pastor what I've done. I've literally had to tell men, you're out of the house. I'm not telling. I'm just saying I'm a messenger from your wife. You're out of the house until you go give your wife a clean STD test result. You say, why? Because the guy's immoral. You don't want your daughters to live like that. By the way, many wives wonder, okay? You say, well, what's the cure? Marry some guy that maybe he doesn't have enough money to get his teeth whitened, but he has enough godliness to walk with Jesus. Okay? You marry a guy that has character and loves God and loves this book, and he's faithful to church, and he's faithful to God and his word. Every year, at least 19 million. Those are 300 million people in the country. I mean, this includes little babies and children. I don't know how many adults there are, but that's by the way, and I don't want to open a can. You'd be shocked who has sexually transmitted diseases. A lot of people. Number one, there's a lot of people that know it. Number two, there's a lot of people that don't even know it. A few of them are treatable medically, but the mental, emotional, and spiritual damage continues to bring destruction as God promised. In Hebrews, we just read it. The estimated number of people living in the USA with a STD or STI are 65 million. Okay, that's like one in five. Okay, and that's not one in five. And that if you took out all the kids, I'm just reading the. I don't know. It's doesn't even seem believable. Lust destroys the soul. Proverbs 6:32, we just read it. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman, physically or, as Jesus said, mentally, lacketh understanding, Proverbs 6:32, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Lust is addicting. God said this thousands of years ago. But he said, if you get involved with uncontrolled passions, you destroy your own soul. I mentioned this before years ago. I don't know if I read this somewhere. Rush Limbaugh he got addicted to painkillers, and it was so bad that he had to go to a rehab. And I'm sure this was not, you know, your corner rehab over in the corner with, you know, like a halfway house. Okay, this was probably the highest end type of rehab you can go to. And he said this. He said at the rehab, he said the number one, this floored me. I never heard anything like that. He said the number one, and these were no doubt, and I didn't investigate it, but I can just, common sense says no doubt these were all very wealthy people where he went. He said the number one by far, new you know, patient, was not addicted to crack cocaine, was not addicted to meth or alcohol or heroin. He said by far the number one that was coming in to come get help, they were addicted to pornography. They say, oh, pornography is not addicting. There's men right now in this church, you know it's addicting. I don't know who gave it to me. Somebody gave me, it's the RU. They have these little booklets. It's a little booklet, I don't know, 50 pages, and one's on alcohol, one's on drugs, and this one is on pornography. And what's the doctor, Crab? Dr. Crab, I think his name. And he goes on to explain in this book how that literally your body, and Bob, if you understand this a little bit better, I might not be explaining it right. I don't have it written down here. But I think it produces a chemical or something like that called dopamine. And it's the same chemical that's produced when you get addicted to drugs. Literally, you say, what are you saying? I'm saying that God says, and now the medical world's saying, and now for all of you Rush Limbaugh fans, he's even saying it. Pornography and uncontrolled lust, it damages your soul. Lust damages your marriage. I don't need to say that. By the way, 3 months of pornography will produce almost total dissatisfaction with your spouse's appearance and intimacy. And I don't want to get graphic, and I won't do it. 3 months. Ladies, marry, you single girls. Pastor, I'm already married. Sorry. Cast the demons out of him or something. Well, there's a guy in the church, and he has a lot of money. I don't want to know how much money he has. I want to know what's going on in his soul. I want to know if he's a godly man. Well, he has a good job and he makes money and he knows how to wake up early. I'm sure a bunch of those guys were the Rush Limbaugh that were probably businessmen and CEOs and people that made a bunch of money. They knew how to make money, but they didn't know how to get their lust under control. Oh, Pastor, you sometimes have such a high standard for your daughters. I don't know if anyone will ever marry them. I'd rather them not ever get married than them marry the wrong dude. And by the way, if you have high standards for your daughters, guess what you do? You attract the right type of guy. So, oh, Pastor, I don't know if I had those standards, if anyone would ever want to be attracted to my daughter. Yes, they would. It'd just be a slim pickings, but it's the right group. Ladies, don't let your husband watch R-rated movies at home. And I go a little step further. Most of the PG movies are R-rated when I was a kid. They just sort of changed the rating. You say, well, there's a lot. It's a military movie. Look, these military movies always have to have some sensual girl there. Okay? There's always got to be some girl that's at least half nude. Say, what are you doing? You're causing your husband. I'm not saying you're causing, but you're allowing your husband to develop an appetite that you'll never be able to fulfill. And then he has a temptation to go out there and bother. I better be careful. By the way, pornography, what pornography is to men, love stories and love novels are to women, creating in a lady a desire that cannot be fulfilled. Well, I better go on. I got real quiet. You say, what? Same thing. It's just real common sense. Yep. The man looks at the pictures because we're visually oriented. And by the way, that little booklet, Dr. Crab, he says, those pictures that go in your mind, they're almost impossible. Not impossible, because with God, all things are possible. But they're almost impossible to erase out of your mind. But for ladies, a man, he develops that appetite, and his wife can't fulfill it. And by the way, if you're a single man, there's no wife out there can fulfill it. But a lady, she's got these books on, you know, this wonderful man that comes home every day, and he walks in the door, and he says, sweetheart, you're beautiful. And he comes and gives her a big smooch and picks her up and says, I'll do the dishes tonight. Who said that's a keeper? They're walking on the beach. I mean, in these little, these novels, they're painting. Listen, these authors, they know how to paint the picture. Man, they use the right verbiage, and they know how to paint. And then here it is, you know, and all this, and he's so nice, and he's so perfect, and he takes you, and he buys everything for you. Let's just say, girls, there's no such thing. Hey, let me just tell you the truth. We're all the same. Some of us a little better than the others. Okay? He says, what do you need? Just get some godly guy that'll obey this book and will love you as Christ loved the church, and you do pretty well. Well, you know, I want him to be tall, dark, and handsome. And I know you Asian people want him tall, light, and handsome. I know that. Okay? Put the books away. Quit watching the movies. Those are actors. Those are actresses. Okay? Be committed to his word. Quit looking at junk that's never, it's false. Soap operas. You got me started. Frank, I keep looking at you. I like your smile. Keep it up. You see what a soap opera? Same thing. All they do is they cause, by the way, Spanish, what do they call it? Novelas? Oh, man, I just woke up the whole house. Filipino soap operas. Chinese kung fu love movies that are translated into Cambodian. Addicted, going. I remember back in the days when they had Mario's video store, and here's these people going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. You know, they're on like series number 56. It's all movies. It's not real. Dads, screen your future son-in-laws. Raise the bar. I just don't know if I ever get one of them. Now, no hands raised, but you know how many ladies are like, I wish I had a dad like that. I wish I had a dad that could have protected me. So I can get the right guy that's pure and moral and holy and loves God and loves his word. And if he loves his word, he's going to love me. By the way, and I know I'm chasing rabbits here, but it's Brother Meyer's fault. I don't know if it's just the state of California. When I got married to get my license, I had to get a sexually transmitted disease test. What happened? How many remember that? Remember that? It's just old people. If there's ever a day when you need sexually transmitted disease tests, it's today. I don't know who's changed that law. I don't know if that's just California or what. I got married in Illinois. Lust destroys the spirit. You can't walk with God if you're so filled with guilt because of all the lust in your mind. You can't. You can't. There's a judgment of God on America because of our uncontrolled lust. By the way, it's not just America. Pornography, which America has made very famous, okay? What is it, Northridge? The pornography capital of the world at one time. Isn't that where we had the big earthquake? It's like a sewer system that we've pumped all over the world. Brother Board told me he went to Cambodia and went to a hotel, and there was a little boy, I don't know, 11, 12 years old, behind the counter watching pornography like he was watching, I was going to say Bozo's Big Top. No one even knows what Bozo's Big Top is. I know. Popeye. I Love Lucy. There's this little kid back there. There's a judgment of God on America and on Christians. We already know the unsaved, but we're God's people. We ought to be different. Because of our uncontrol, the guilt from lust. Guilt. Any man or any lady in here, you know that if you're involved with private, secret sins, this sin of lust, and there's garbage on your computer, and maybe for you it's just mental and it's chat line, and you're a developing a relationship with some guy you don't even know. By the way, he might not even be a guy, he might be a girl. Okay, and that girl you might think might be a guy. But you know what? You have to put your head on your pillow at night when there's no music going on and there's no voices going on but your spirit and the guilt. You can't run and move to another state, and you can't run and move to another country. You can't leave because your guilt stays with you like a cancer until you repent and get restored back to God. The STDs from lust are a judgment from God. Sneaky children because of lust. Single mother homes, and we have single mothers that are wonderful ladies, but a lot of them is because either they didn't have a father to protect them or they got involved with the wrong guy, and now we have a difficulty on a mother to be single with no husband in the home. Abortions because of lust. Extreme jealousy because of lust. There's couples because after a little while, the wife's going, this guy's got a problem. Or this girl has a problem. And now we're suspicious, and maybe they're not doing anything, but we're suspicious. Extreme jealousy, and we're imagining things, and it's causing friction. You say, why? Here, you say, Pastor, what's the point? We need to get this lust nipped in the bud. Abortions and all of the immorality, and this has crept into the church. And I don't mean in this church, but we're a church that has a pretty good group of people, so obviously it's crept in this church from time to time. It's crept in the pulpit. It's crept in the staff. And I don't mean here, but I mean all over America, here in our city. It's all over the place. It's a shame. Okay, and by the way, we try to have walls of protection in around here, okay? Because no Christian, you say, well, we're Christian. That'll never happen to a Christian. Oh, yeah, now you have the world, the flesh, and Satan trying to destroy you. Unsaved people out there, the devil already got them. He didn't need to really mess with them. They just have the world and the flesh. Well, now Satan's after you. It's a shame. Lust damages marriages. Sexually transmitted diseases. Our people don't know, and man, if there's a few know. We've had to bury people in our church. People didn't know about it. The men had AIDS. No knew. Oh, well, he died. He died of AIDS. And guess what he did? He gave it to his wife. Oh, that's just in the ghettos, Pastor. No, it's not. One of the most wealthy, most educated families I knew. Never forget when the son first told me, he said, man, I think my dad's going to die. I'm like, wow, what happened? Pretty healthy man. He didn't tell me. And then later on he said, my dad's HIV positive. And he said he gave it to my mom. Both the mom and dad just watched them shrivel away. Lust is a little bit more, let me just get this little hit of pleasure. It's worse than that. That's what Satan wants you to think. It's just something that's okay, and, you know, this makes me feel good. It's like getting a drink of coffee. It ain't like getting a drink of coffee. God says he judges. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, and let's stand together.